चैतन्य जयनित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद Madhya Lila 8. Bande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurdaye Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhu Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda, West Bengal, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gortishe Namaha Subarnavarname Hemango Barangas Chandanangadi Sanyasa Krishchamaha Shanto Nishtashanti Parayana Krishna Kirtana Gananata Nakala Patojani Bhajita Sad Bhaktavali Hansa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Viharas Padam Kananandi Kaladvanir Vahatume Jiva Maru Prangane Sri Chaitanya Dayani Deitava Kripalila Shudha Swarduni. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectar in Ganges waters of your eternal pastimes forever flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue, beautifying those waters are the lotus flowers of the loud singing, dancing, and chanting of Krishna's holy names and pastimes. The ducks, bees, and swans that inhabit the waters are the pure devotees of the Lord, and the rivers flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. Reading today, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 44. Prabhu kahe tumi maha bhagavatottama Prabhu kahe tumi maha bhagavatottama Tomara darshane sova drava hoy lamana Tomara darshane sova drava hoy lamana Prabhu kahe tumi maha bhagavatottama Tomara darshane soba drava hoy lamana Prabhu kahe tumi maha bhagavatottama Tomara darshane soba drava hoy lamana Please chant. Bengali that a short A is much more like an O. If you spend some time in Bengal, if you go to Mayapur, they say like the last word of this verse would be mon. In Sanskrit, it's more like a U. It's pronounced like a U, mun. So it's hoilamon. Ladies? They say, Jol Lugbe, want some water? J-A-L, Lagbe is A also. Jol Lugbe. Word for word. Prabhu Kahe. The Lord replied. To me. You. Mahabhagavat Uttama. The best of the topmost devotees. Tumara darshane, by seeing you, sobar, of everyone, drava, melted, hoila, became, mana, the heart. Translation. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai, Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart has melted. Please repeat. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai. Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart has melted. Purport. Unless one is a first-class devotee, he cannot be a preacher. A preacher is generally a topmost devotee. But in order to meet the general populace, he has to come to distinguish between devotees and non-devotees. Otherwise, an advanced devotee makes no such distinctions. Indeed, he always sees everyone engaged in the service of the Lord. When one engages in preaching work, he must distinguish between people and understand that some people are not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The preacher then has to take compassion upon such innocent people who do not know how to worship the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45, the symptoms of a topmost devotee are described as follows. Sarvabhuteshu yak pasyed bhagavat pavamatmanah Bhutani Bhagavat Jatmani Esha Bhagavatottamaha. The advanced devotee sees that all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is in Krishna, and Krishna is also within everyone. Such a vision is possible only for a person who is very advanced in devotional service. Prabhu kahe tumi mahabhagavatottama toma darshane sova dravahoi lamana. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai, Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart has melted. Om jnana timidantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun chakshurun melitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So what's happened is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has met Ramananda Rai on the bank of the river Godavari, and Ramananda Rai is accompanied by about 1,000 people, government officials, and because he's has a very big political post, and everyone has become affected by the association chiefly of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the Lord, even though He is the Parameshwara, He is the Antaryami, He is the Janmadyasya Yataha, He is the source of everything. He is the Super Soul in everyone's heart. And He knows Bedaham Samatitani. He knows everything that happened in the past and the future and the present. But still, He's saying that people's hearts have melted because of Ramananda Rai. It's a bit of expert deflection. And He's certainly living up. Excuse me. He's certainly practicing what He preaches. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana. He's setting a wonderful example by this expert bit of deflection of praise. So, this is the effect of an Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari, from Uttama we get the English word ultimate, and also utter is connected. So the Uttama Adhikari is the topmost devotee of the Lord. And Uttama, Ut means out, and Tama means ignorance. So this means that the Uttamadhikari, he's not touched by ignorance or darkness. His heart is 100% clean. The heart, which is a mirror. And we see that Srila Prabhupada had this effect on people, that everyone's heart would melt upon seeing him. Many times we've heard that numerous disciples, ladies and men, when they came eye to eye with Srila Prabhupada, there was a melting of the heart. The heart, you know, the defenses in the heart, the false ego and the barriers, and everything became drava. In the third verse of the Bhagavatam, Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. The word drava comes, it means semi-soft, and it's a melting of the heart. That word is used here. The heart melts by the lava matra. 1/11th of a second is enough. This is the effect. And Srila Prabhupada, you can see he met so many big, important non-devotees with big, important false egos. And they would relax in his presence. He could criticize them, and they would not take it personally, generally. Because Srila Prabhupada didn't belong to any material category. He is Uttamadhikari, of course, acting as Madhyamadhikari, to have effect in the world. But it's not possible to put, like, the modes of nature are three. You multiply three by three, and it makes 9, and you multiply 9 by 9, it makes 81. And 81 times 81 is 81 times 81. But these are material categories. And everybody in the material world, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, fits in to one of these categories and is bound by it, by the conditions. Therefore, they're called conditioned souls. But the Uttamadhikari is not a conditioned soul, and he doesn't fit into any of these, category of the combination of the modes of nature. He is above the modes of nature, and therefore this effect is there. So, in the Prabhupada Shloka book, there are 43 verses describing the Uttamadhikari, no less than. So to understand what is Uttamadhikari, because ultimately, if we want to enter the spiritual world, we have to also become completely pure by the Lord's grace. So, therefore the Shastras make so many statements about Uttamadhikari. Shushushraya bhajana vigyamananyamanya nindari shunyam idamipshita sangalabdhya. This is Upadeshamrita. He's very advanced in pure devotional service. Shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananyam ananyam. Exclusive, pure, unmotivated devotional service. He's very advanced in this. He's fixed in this. And then anya nindari shunyam. His heart is devoid of the tendency to criticize others. This doesn't just mean, you know, he sees so many things, but he keeps quiet. my lips are sealed. I won't say anything. You know, this guy, I know what, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know, he's a devotee. His heart is completely free because he is completely free of the influence of material nature. He is fully self-realized. He's understood the difference between spirit and matter, and that I am spirit and matter will go on. The universe has its mechanisms which are ruling everything. And when someone is exhibiting faults, he understands that the soul is not exhibiting faults. The faults are within material nature. The dosha, kaleya dosha, nidhe rajan. A notion of faults, this age would call it. But the Uttamadhikari, he doesn't see this. Stavara jangamadeki nadeki tarmurti. Sarvatra hai nija. Ishta deva spurti. The Uttamadhikari, he certainly sees jangama. He certainly sees all moving and non-moving living beings. Stavara jangama. Stavara jangama deke. He certainly sees them. Deke means he sees. He sees them. Nadeki tarmurti. But he doesn't exactly see their external form. He's not so bewildered. The bewildered souls see only the external form. They think that this is everything. That this is the truth. The external form is the truth. And he designs his life around this so-called truth. I am this. These are mine. And this is my duty. The Uttamadhikari, he doesn't exactly see the external forms. Rather, Ishta Devaspurti. He sees manifest everywhere his Ishta Dev, his worshipful Lord. And although he's so elevated to be in the water but not wet, like the lotus, he still thinks, because Uttamadhikari means Krishna Prema. It means he has Krishna Prema. But he still thinks, Na Prema Shravanadi Bhakti Raviva Yogo Tava Vaishnavo Jnanava Shubhakarma Va Kiyadaho Saj Jati Apyasti Va, this is Rupa Goswami. Hinartadika Sadake Tvaitatapyarsh Chedyamula Sati Hegopi Janavallava Janavallava Bitayate Haha Madasaiva Mam. Rupa Goswami, an Uttamadhikari, is very sincerely praying, Na Prema, my Lord, I don't have any love for you. I'm not even qualified to hear and chant about you. I have no I'm not from a good family. I have no pious activities. I have no transcendental knowledge. I don't have the mystic power of a devotee. On the whole, I don't have anything at all. But still, somehow, within my heart, there is a hope that you will be merciful to me. Hey Gopi Janaballava Bitayate Haha Madasaivamam. This is a kind of inexplicable thing about the Uttamadhikari. He's so qualified, but he earnestly believes that he has no qualification whatsoever, that he's not even a devotee. It's quite hard to understand. So because he doesn't identify with the body, because his heart, as this is verse, Tairachitte Krishna Prema Karayudai, Tairavakya Kriya Mudra Bigyehana Bujai. In one in whose heart Krishna Prema has taken place, Karayudai, which has awoken, because Krishna Prema is dormant. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunai is dormant in the heart of every ant and dormant in the heart of every demigod and all of us. There is an energy in the heart. That energy is now transformed into karma. But in its pure state, that energy is Krishna Prema. So one in whose heart Krishna Prema has awoken, his what he says, and Tara Vakya Kriya Mudra. Kriya means what he does, mudra, his symptoms or his characteristics. Bigyeha Nabujai. Even a learned scholar cannot understand. He's not comprehensible. You cannot understand his mind. And he's free from, therefore, from the defects of cheating, imperfect senses, etc. Tendency to make mistakes and be illusioned. He's free from these things. And therefore, because he is so transcendental to material nature, Rupa Goswami says, Drishtaya Svabhava Janitaya Vapusascha Doshaya Na Prakritatvam Iha Bhakta Janasya Pashyat. Drishtaya Svabhava Janitaya. The born of our own nature, we will tend to, according to our own nature, we will tend to criticize an Uttamadhikari because of this statement, the whole universe thinks like me. Manyate jagat, atmano manyate jagat, thank you. Whatever I'm like, every other creation must also be like that. So, drishtai svabhava janitaya. According to how we conceive of life, we impose that on the Uttamadhikari. But Rupa Goswami warns Vapushastra Doshaya that whatever bodily defects are there in the Uttamadhikari, we should not, it's a very serious offense to identify him with those defects. Like if his body is deformed, or his accent is not perfect, say his English is not perfect. We should not identify him with these so-called defects, because he's a pure devotee. So, now how does the Uttamadhikari understand life? Because this is a dark world. We're in a darkness. The darkness of ignorance is the prime characteristic of this material world. The darkness of ignorance. And to understand the absolute truth is difficult. It's a difficult area. Because the absolute truth is beyond the reach of the material senses. In this material world, there is relative truth. Relative is from Latin, relatus. Means that it refers back. It's a truth, a relative truth is a truth that refers back to another fact or truth. Or relate, relatus, referring back. In other words, cold is cold because of our experience of hot, etc. This, everybody understands what is relative truth. But some people may begin to think, may not be satisfied with this idea that this relative truth, which we're limited to, is the all in all, the origin of everything. So this is the point called Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That now human beings can do this. They can start to wonder about this. How come there's so much suffering? So now then they start to inquire, is this material nature coming from something? Is it perhaps a shadow of something? And they may come to the conclusion that it's like when I was a student in Paris, this idea was very popular of the one spirit which animated everything. We used to draw a circle, but in drawing the circle, the external forms would be drawn on the perimeter of the circle, open to the center of the circle. These forms represent the life forms, bodies. And the idea is that the center of the circle, which extends to the interior of these external forms, that is the truth, spirit, and it's one substance. So some people may come to this conclusion that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, this that the only truth is this Brahma. And everything else is false. It is a superimposition. Brahma is not even the source of the Jagat. It doesn't have knowledge of the Jagat, because then it ceases to be one. If there is an object of knowledge and a knower, then that's duality. But there is only oneness. Some people come to this conclusion. Others, like the Buddhists, who say, Yat Sat Kshanikyam. They say, Yat Sat, what is real, reality, is Kshanikyam, is momentary. In other words, whatever the atoms, whatever reality the atoms produce in an instant, at the next instant, that reality is no more. So, Yat Sat Kshanikyam, the only reality is momentary. It is momentary, and there is nothing beyond that momentary reality. They say that reality is void, that free of existence and also free of non-existence, and free of both, and free of neither. So if you can figure that one out. They are shunyavadis, void. There's simply nothing, and this is what they try to do. It is suicide. It is spiritual suicide. This is their aim. They should be locked up. Suicide is illegal. And so the Uttamadhikari, he understands he understands the full absolute truth. This difficult subject of the absolute truth is fully clear to him. He's not avishuddha buddhaya. His intelligence is not faulty. He's gone, like if you look at the history of philosophy in the last 2,000 or 3,000 years, everybody is trying to understand and coming up with different, some people notice that, well, there must be more than one real, because some reals have, like in Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam, some reals, real entities, have chosen evil and ignorance and are suffering. And while they're doing that, the absolute good did not choose evil. He never did. He remained aloof and supervised, upadrastanumanta, oversaw. So there are two reals. There is existence, but there is distinction. So that means there is dependence. Now, is that, some people think that dependence, is it real or false? Is it reciprocal? That the absolute good, he's also in some way dependent on the jiva. So in this way, so many combinations. But the Uttamadhikari speaks the full truth, understands the full truth. He knows that finite reality is totally dependent for its existence, its knowledge, its activity. We, for our existence and knowledge and reality, are totally dependent on the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the source of Maya as one of his energies. He is not at all, he is independent, he is fully independent. This is the meaning of absolute, absolvere, Latin. Means to ab away from, to loose. Solvere means loose, like a solvent. we are freed from, we are, not we, the absolute truth is perfect and complete and freed from restrictions. So that is the qualification of the source, the eternal source of everything, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And this is known to the Uttamadhikari. This is the full, the Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabjite. The full truth is known to the Uttamadhikari. So the Krishna consciousness movement is designed, the blueprint is given, and the supervision is done by Uttamadhikaris like Madhvacharya, whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected from all the acharyas to for his line and his philosophy, and Rupa Goswami, Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, all of our acharyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Avashila Prabhupada. They are Uttamadhikaris who have designed and are overseeing this movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is a movement principally for Madhyam Adhikaris. A Madhyam Adhikari, because the Madhyamadhikari, Ishare Taradineshu, Bali Sheshu Risatsucha, Prema Maitri Kipopeksha, Yakaru Tisa Madhyama. One who makes distinctions between the Supreme Lord, the devotees, the innocent, and the demons, and reacts accordingly. Madhyamadhikari means that he is following, like in our movement, we are following the Uttama Adhikaris. And therefore the current flows. Therefore, one can become a guru. And the potency is there. And the qualification of the Madhyamadhikari, he may not be yet free, like the Uttamadhikari, from the influence of material nature, but his qualification is he follows. He's humble and submissive. And Srila Prabhupada often pointed out to people that my disciples, they do everything I tell them. If I tell them to jump off a cliff, they will jump. So these are some points from his first and purport. If there's any discussion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I have a question about the distinctions that preachers might realize because of their vision to see differences, but they seem to ignore the distinctions at the same time to carry out their mission.
Hold on.
Preachers realize the distinctions between people.
Yeah.
But they seem to ignore them at the same time in order to carry out their mission.
But they do what at the same time?
They seem to ignore the distinctions and preach to everyone.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, that's a mistake. If you meet a Christian on the street, and it's not hard to immediately understand. I shouldn't say Christian, but someone of the quality, of that aggressive kind of quality of closed-mindedness, one can easily, immediately understand that this person is totally unreceptive to Krishna. And Krishna is kind of he puts himself in the hands of the preacher to be given out. So if we give out Krishna to such a person who is only going to blaspheme, this is an offense. Ashradadana, no. It's the ninth offense. So it's very important to distinguish between an envious demon and an innocent person. Kripa Upeksha. The ignorant person, we ignore him. And the innocent person, Kripa, we're compassionate on him. We try to help him. Even he may struggle and argue, but we understand that he's an innocent person. And therefore we persist, like Srila Prabhupada does with us. Yes, Mataji. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for such a nice class. You were talking about the quality of the Uttama Adhikari being his heart completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. I know Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to come up to the Majjhima platform. I'm trying. But everybody has a different nature. There's something about me that really always wants to encourage people, whether devotees or non-devotees. So what happens for me is sometimes I hear other devotees being extremely critical, whether of devotees or non-devotees. Mm. And that, like, it makes me critical of the critic.
Yeah.
So then I'm very focused on what I see wrong in that other person. Mm. What to do.
Yeah. There's different modes of reaction to such a situation. And the obligation of a devotee is to try to be in the mode of goodness. It means that we're not impetuous. We're not We don't react in the mentality that I am the controller. That's the idea of the mode of passion. And to make the shift from passion to goodness in under pressure, it may be very useful to chant the holy name, because the holy name will do everything for us. We sincerely take shelter of the holy name, and then our reaction may be modified to do the appropriate thing, which may be, if the person is our senior, it may be appropriate to approach his or her senior. If the person is our junior, it may be appropriate to wait until the incident has passed, reflect on it. Like if you ask a Brahmin a question that requires, you know, execution, executive decision, he'll say, wait 40 days. So he really reflects on it profoundly. And his response is in the mode of goodness. And it has the proper, because to help someone to rectify a situation, it has to be long-term. Long-term benefit is what we're after. So a devotee is grave, very grave, tolerant, and forgiving. And he thinks that, he or she thinks that Krishna is the rectifier of everything, not me. So let me make sure that I am representing and speaking for Krishna. Any other points? Yes, Mataji.
So just going back to the first question, so if I give a person a book without having a conversation with them and knowing what they really think, yeah, about Krishna consciousness, is that improper?
No, it's a risk which the mode of preaching which we have been taught necessarily entails. It's our duty to, you know, the rain falls on the ocean and the dry rock. I don't know if I can very elaborately, my understanding of the, you know, the practice of Krishna consciousness is not very profound. I don't know if I can elaborate on this very much, but, you know, we give out a literature to everybody. When we detect that someone is envious and nasty, then we don't give them a book, because they'll do something nasty with it. That's about all I could say on that. Yeah.
Just a comment on that topic. It seems it behooves us, or those who really preach and Krishna consciousness, to persist to inspire that person in some way, on some level, with the Krishna consciousness they might be able to touch. It reminds me of Lord Nityananda, who persisted to deliver Jagai and Madai despite, yeah, their blasphemy and sinful, yeah, life. Of course, he is God, but we can follow in some way that example.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly glad that the pure devotees and the Lord seem to be persisting with me.
Just another question or note to that. It seems the more advanced one's consciousness, the more humble and lowly they feel. And it seems totally real. I've been reading and singing the Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs, and even as he deeply describes intimate service with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, in the next verse he's speaking how dejected and fallen and wretched he is. Mm. And it's such a mystery to me how they can have such clear vision, and how can they see some fault in themselves when they are so pure?
Well, I don't think, I think this is, I'd like to convert this into a comment, a rhetorical question. Because how do they do it? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.